Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Celtic Now and for a podcast. My name is Ryan Clifford. Well, it's the last one of the season. We're joined by John Clifford and Sean Muller. Again, it'll be a wee quick review of the season, where we think it went wrong. Obviously, our thoughts and obviously the situation that's happening at the moment. There's a lot of things been happening recently, obviously, with Lowell today, which, again, it's disgusting, but we'll get into a wee bit of more details of the podcast here long. But, Sean, you're back on again, mate. How's things?
I'm not bad, thanks, mate. How are you?
Well, it's the end of the season now, mate. I think we're all kind of out of frustration, aren't we? We're all a bit more happier. Pubs are opening. We can go out and rant and rave. So, what about yourself, John? How's things?
Glad it's all over.
You say that again. as I say, there, Sean, obviously, there's a few things that have been happening in the season, and the season's finished now, and obviously we can reflect about stuff. And I know a lot of podcasts, not just our podcast, other guys and fans, we're all been negative all season, but a wee small kind of review of the season. Obviously, what's your kind of thoughts on obviously how the season went, and when did you think you started to go downhill? Because I think there's a lot of pinpoints we can say, but what's your kind of opinion on that, mate?
I think it kind of started going downhill, Ryan, for maybe first couple of defeats. I reckon that's when Lennon should have walked away. Personally, I don't think he should have took the job or got offered the job in the first place, but I would say his first couple of defeats, you seen what the team weren't the same as what they have been. Mm-hmm. You can just tell it was going downhill for there.
I think it was for the summer, mate, wasn't it? You could tell something when the signings were getting made last minute, and again, it all boils down to recruitment, but there's only so much. If you sign players, that's fine, but again, it isn't the players, and I don't think, as much as maybe we've been critical of the players and Neil Lennon, I don't think maybe the players have been getting as much slack as maybe they should be. It was all really beyond overplayed football. You know, the managers always get the bunky, the slack, and obviously, Neil Lennon got a bit of the slack, and the board have got a bit of the slack, but I don't think the players have maybe got as much slack as maybe they should be. I know you don't want to give them too much abuse, but they have failed the manager and they've failed the fans. Which for me is it's wrong, John. I think they've got to take a bit of responsibility, and I don't think they have.
It's a collective responsibility, isn't it, for the board, the manager, the players. Ultimately, the manager carries a can, didn't he? But the performances at the start of the season were worrying for the off. Scraping results, playing pish. I just felt dead negative for the start, didn't it?
It did, John. For me, my opinion, lads, when it went wrong, was it was Ferenc Varos. When Neil Lennon came out with the press conference, and we all know we played football, you played under managers, and it doesn't matter if it's amateur, junior, 21s, whatever, you keep that stuff under wraps. You don't, that public shouldn't know whatever like that when it comes to transfer policies. Obviously, you better know who I've signed, why I've signed them, blah, blah, blah. But when you say that players aren't happy, right in front of the media, right after a game like that, it kind of puts the spotlight on you right away, Sean. And for me, that was the beginning of the end. And for me, that should have been when he should have been told, listen, thanks for your efforts, Neil, but this is where we go, because obviously the players weren't playing from, because you've seen it in the game. It's, we all know it was a game we should have won, and for me that just controlled the rest of the season.
I definitely, mate. I think I'm coming out and saying that he had players there that didn't want to be there and stuff as well. That's going to create an atmosphere straight away. And it would just a tits up altogether. You could tell which players didn't want to be there, tell which players didn't want to play under Lennon. And it's just you're right, it was for the Varos game. But it's just a shit show, mate. Shit show for the day dot.
Because obviously, again, John, for me, it all boils down to the equipment. We all talk about, I know we keep mentioning Beaton's name, but for me, Beaton is a good centre mid. I think Beaton's decent at centre mid, but maybe his time's finished at this level only for Celtic. But he's kind of a scapegoat in a way. He's always getting put at centre back. They don't sign centre backs. They don't do this. They don't do that. And I get, was it just last season? It was the year before and the year before. This isn't just under Neil Lennon. But again, that goes hand in hand for starting for basically scratch and no getting guys in quick enough. It does basically make the rest of your season a bit of a shit show, Sean says. If you don't get the players in early, you're rushing about and going, right, we need to qualify. And if you don't qualify, then they panicked and went, boom, we'll sign £15 million worth of players.
A Celtic strategy for recruitment, signing players, leave it at the last minute, as you know. We've all talked to each other about it. Is it because they don't want to sign a guy the first week of the transfer window? Because it then means you need to pay his wages and you've not got a game for 6 weeks. So if you sign five guys, that's 30 weeks' wages you're paying. Now, at the end of the day, if you do it properly and you get them done early, you qualify for the Champions League and that money covers that, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So they take a gamble every year, and gamble's failed.
But even, they're talking about gamble, Sean, even under Brendan Rodgers, they gambled, because you had Jack Hendry playing it back against the AK Athens. I know he's done well this year for the team in Belgium, but we all knew at that time Jack Hendry wasn't a first team Celtic player, and they've left it late to get basically guys in. And then again, we failed against Athens, and again, we failed this year. For me, I keep saying that at the Ferencváros game, but see the two games we won in qualifying to get through the group stages, we were ranked rotten, and the teams weren't very good, and we struggled even away from home against these teams. We absolutely struggled to win the game, and you dare not see last minute goal, I think it was Sarajevo or other team. That's not good enough, and for me, that set the stall for the season, because, as she says, you've seen the players who were maybe pulling an effort on some one, and you know what, I've said this podcast before, I'm not questioning their professionalism, because that's not something I would ever do, because they're professionals, and I know they work hard and they train hard, but there's a lot of things that could have went wrong, and they have went wrong this season, Sean, and for me, it's just proved, obviously losing the league, but it was like there was no challenge this season. I understand Rangers done well. They were 20-odd points. They won the league 20-odd points. Clean sheets, let's be honest, we can all moan about Rangers, but they've got a world-class goalkeeper and he's 38, 39. That is one big difference for me. You yourself, you're a goalkeeper. You know how much a goalkeeper is a big difference in a team, especially at this level.
I totally agree, mate. I think even if we were on our game this season, I think the league would have been won and nailed for them and nothing else if we were on our game, and I went down to that. But as much as I hate to say it, they've done more than not right this season. But I don't know. I think with Lennon, it was, it's even said about certain players showed that they didn't want to be there. By that, I mean, I reckon Cham, Edward, players who probably get taught last season, just give another season at ease, let's get 10 in a row, and then he's can go. And it just went balls up. And I think it's, like I said, mate, I just think it was a shit show for the off, but that mob got credit where credit's due. They've, we, the clean sheet records and that, I know what you were saying with McGregor. Yeah, I'm surprised he didn't get a call up for that Scotland squad today.
Aye, to be fair, I know he said he's retired, but I did say that to my dad, John, the day, that I wouldn't surprise me if he did come out of retirement, because he has played well this season and it shows you a difference. But I'm being honest, John, I'm willing to give, I know Barkas and the £5 million of big expectations in the guy. I know he's only played the last two games. You're playing against, I don't want to say dirty teams, but you're playing against lower teams in the league. I thought his distribution was really good. I know he didn't have much today, but I'm willing to give a guy another season, another pre-season. Hopefully, again, I know people say it might not be a big deal to them, but we've all played football and I've listened to a few ex-pros saying, if life after park isn't brilliant, then on the park isn't brilliant. And if he's no settled on after park, how can he settle on the park? So, and obviously he's getting chopped and changed, he's getting told he's going to be playing and he's not playing. Obviously with restrictions, he can't go for beers, can't go for coffees, can't he? All teammates are on different training rooms. People say it's an excuse and all, but that will affect players. It's not affecting you in the league, but it will affect your performance in a certain run. And I'm willing to give Barkas, if it is going to be Eddie Howe, which obviously I think it's been signed for months, I'm just waiting a few things, but I'll talk about that better as the podcast goes on. I think, because I'm sure Bournemouth, he tried to sign Barkas for Bournemouth on loan last year or 2 years ago, so he obviously knows about Barkas. So I think we need to, for me, obviously, Celtic have also good strikers. John, Sean, you know about that. We've always had a good striker. So if Edouard goes, it will be a bit of a, it'll be a sad day when he goes, because he's been brilliant. He's been a pleasure for me to watch. But we'll buy somebody else. We always buy somebody. We're always seen a good striker. We've always had one. But the goalkeeping situation, John, for me, we talk about McGregor. I don't know if Barkas is a man, but I'm willing to give him another chance. But you will need to get another, because Scott Bain, for me, is not good enough. Is Hazard going to play? Probably no. You might need to buy another two goalkeepers, John.
Aye. Regarding the restrictions, now every team is the same situation, right? It's not just Barkas with Celtic. Mm-hmm. Every other team is in that same situation. So I'm nowhere on that one. There's a lot of foreign boys have came to Scotland this year and done all right. Obviously, confidence is a major thing in football, as you know. And he didn't start very well. And it just went downhill for there. But you've got a clean slate, and he's a new man going to come in. Whoever the man is that's come in, he's obviously done his homework, isn't he? He's not coming in blind. He knows everything about all the players. He might get another chance. I don't know. We'll soon find out in time, won't we?
I think that's always been an issue with Celtic as well, John. Like, they leave everything to the last minute. Like, i.e. Champions League qualifiers came up in the first 2 or 3 weeks of pre-season. Why not already know who you're bringing in? Look, the Rangers have already brought, what, 2 or 3 players in for the summer already. They join them in the end of June. And, like, Celtic got one boy for Sheffield Wednesday, mm-hmm. and the rest will probably leave until no doubt we get knocked at the qualifiers again. Like, it's just the way we go about stuff like that. And then there again, be a manager, like, if that Eddie Howe deal is done, like, I seen he was he's one of the favourites for the Palace job now, I know, but Roy Hodgson's he's retiring. I seen Eddie Howe's name on the day, and I'm like, oh, if he's already spoke to Desmond and whatever else, then why not announce it? Why not, instead of that statement about a couple of weeks ago saying nothing's been decided yet, like, we've been in talks with several candidates, but nothing has been placed. So if it is agreed verbally or whatever, then why not just let us know, give us a bit of assurance?
See, like, I know a few bits and Bobby Robert and stuff you see, but I've kind of looked through the statement for a different perspective. I can see the best. I don't know what you took off it, Sean, and other fans, but my opinion was they were basically saying, we've got somebody, we're trying to announce it, but we can't. That's the way I got it. Because supposedly Eddie Howe's own gardening leave till the end of May, start of June. So I think if Celtic did come and announce something, I think that it would go against the contractor. I think Celtic would have been a big conversation. Don't know if that's true, but I think that's maybe how garden leave works.
I know that's So still under contract. Mourinho there.
Aye. So he's still under contract. I think with Bournemouth, I think when he left, he still had a deal left. I think that's one reason why he's not had a job since. They're saying that he's took a break. I think it's a contract agreement that he's maybe go to, he's got to basically stay as a back burner, basically no working, just a Sky pundit work, whatever. Because when I look through other papers and hear, obviously it's all WhatsApps and a few other texts for other sources, they say that supposedly, we all know that he when he come here, no full control. That's my opinion. I don't think a manager has standard and has ethos and what he wants to do in the game. I don't think he would come here if, obviously, Lobby wasn't going to be staying. Well, supposedly, he might be staying in some capacity. I don't know if that's true, because if he wants to stay, I think if he still wants to stay with the Scottish SFA in some capacity, I think he's still going to be with a club. I don't know if that's right. John might be able to quote me on that. But for me, I think, obviously, if he doesn't come, a lot of people will have egg in their face. But as far as I've been told, it is done. They might need to announce it the 31st of May, 1st of June. But he's been promised a massive amount of money. Because he's not, let's be honest, is Eddie Howe going to come for £5-10 million to spend? I don't think so. Because I know we'd all saying Edouard's going to go. See if Eddie Howe comes in and persuades him to stay. We could all go, all right, brilliant. I know his favourite to go to Leicester. He's like 46, 47. I know bookies' odds don't mean nothing because you put a fiver and it moves the odds. But these guys like Ayer and Cham, again, I do agree with what Chris Sutton says, John, that obviously the Cham's not really played much on Marseille. I know he's saying he's still got a year or 18 months left in his deal, but he could come back to Celtic and go, right, I didn't play at Marseille. If I don't play at Marseille, I won't play. I need to put my ideas up here. I need to have a good pre-season, a big season, if I want to go somewhere big, because I know I keep saying on his day, the guy is superb, but at a club like Celtic and in any professional football team, you can't have one good game out of 10, because like it's happened at Marseille, he's been bombed out, it happened here. So for me, guys like him, if you can get Eddie Howe, with his, for if has, obviously, I'm saying if it has Eddie Howe, for me, it's going to be, if it's going to get Eddie Howe, get him drummed into his philosophy of saying, listen, Ollie, if you're going to stay, stay. If you're going to be here, then go away. I'll get you away. Because I think by watching these videos, John, and looking into him, he seems the sort of guy that he's not a yes man. If you're not training hard, you're away. If you don't go with his ethos, his values, his whatever, you'll be away, John. And for me, that's the standard we need at Celtic.
The first one, Peter Lawwell, I think you're right. I think if you want to be on the SFA board, and he's also in some UEFA committee, isn't he? You've got to be attached to a club. He might not have anything to do with the club, but as long as he's registered as an employee, obviously on less money, what he's on the new. Listen, if it's not Eddie Howe, it's somebody else, isn't it?
Well, John, I was asked. But you see, we're talking about the compensation thing with Eddie Howe. I seen the same with Tottenham and Mourinho, but Mourinho was it something like 12, 13 million a year or something he was getting at Tottenham, and he would have been getting that for another 2 years after this season. And if he didn't go to Roma, and because he's went to Roma now, Tottenham he's agreed to go to them for the start of the season. If he then on Tottenham, obviously no longer need to pay him. So by him, like if he didn't sign with Roma, Tottenham would have had to continue to pay them. So that must be the same as Eddie Howe then. Like he'll be obviously still getting paid from Bournemouth.
Because obviously, you'll get other fans in Scotland, Rangers fans, Habs, Aberdeen fans, whatever. They'll say, what's Eddie Howe going to do? What's Eddie Howe this, say that? But they don't realise what Eddie Howe's done for Bournemouth. People say it's only, he's basically brought them up from relegation. He kept them solid in the Premier League for 4 or 5 years, and they only failed. He explained why they failed. He says, we get injuries. He said, we just kind of went stale, and it just happened. He says, but it wasn't a fault of trying. And for me, a guy like that coming to this club, the standards, for me, my opinion, Sean, it's the closest to Brendan Rodgers we'll maybe get. I've looked at a lot of his videos, I've looked at his training regime and what he speaks about the game. And for me, he's obsessed with football. He's obsessed with winning. Us as fans, all we want to see out today is win. He wants to send the fans him happy. If it means we only won 1-0, but we absolutely demolish teams, then he would take it. He basically says, if he scores 2, but we score 3 and we win, then I'm happy. I think every training session's an absolute graft. Explosive says he's an absolute grafter. he's in for 7 a.m, 8 p.m. And for me, Sean, you know yourself, you put as some manager that might not give a fuck. I know it's amateur or 20 bands, whatever. But if that's the type of guy at our club, then it is only going to be exciting times. And for me, obviously, you can say he could come in and fail. But if that's the standards for him to fail, it's going to take the players to be ridiculous and really poor, because the standard he's going to set at the club's going to be similar to Rodgers. It's just my opinion, but I think it's the closest Ted Rodgers will get.
Reminds me about a John Clifford back in the day with Denniston. No, I'm the same, mate. Like, I thought what he done with Bournemouth was remarkable, how he brought them up the leagues, kept them as a 12th, 13th, 14th place in the Premiership for a number of seasons. And one thing about him as well is he's very, very clever. He's a very clever man. And the style of football he plays as well. He plays attacking football. He doesn't sit back. He likes to play attractive attacking football. And like, that's exactly what Celtic need. We'll never get anybody like Brendan Rodgers again. Let him play what he's just done there. Just win the FA Cup and that. And possibly top four, depending on the last result. But we'll never get anybody like that again. That was a one-off. And I know it wasn't nice the way he left and stuff, but we should always enjoy. Always look back and say, I was there, I seen that quadruple treble and stuff. And because we'll not see that again. And, well, no, I don't think in a new lifetime anyway, but unless they die again. But, nah, I think, mate, I think, yeah, you're bang on. Like, he's the next best thing we'll get for Eddie Howe. And there's kind of see anybody else out there available, Ryan, who I would say is Celtic standard. Celtic deserve the best. And
because that's why, for me, I generally think that the reason why it's taken so long as well, I think the board, well, obviously, I generally think the deal's been done a week or two if the line went away, but I think they've obviously gave a job to Kennedy in the season to get things, the ball rolling, because I do believe that if Eddie Howe did come in as soon as Lennon left, if we failed to win the Scottish Cup or we failed to do anything else, he would have maybe felt he'd have got the brunt of it after fans. And that's just the way fans would be, because the fans would have saying, oh, he's just come in, he's not done this. And that's just, I think, maybe in a perspective, he maybe thought, no, I'll take it into the season, I'll refresh. Because I do believe, John, that obviously I'm saying it's Eddie Howe, I'm hoping it's Eddie Howe, but whoever is a manager, they're definitely doing stuff behind the scenes, because you can't take this job on if it is the 1st of June, 5th of June, whatever it is, and just go unblended. You've got to know what you're doing. You can't come in and go, right, he needs sold. I want him out the backroom staff, I'll get my backroom staff. All that's got to be in place for me to work at a club at Celtic. If it's not in place, like we've always said all season, they've no plan B, they've no plan C, they need a plan A sometimes. But I generally think there is a lot of growing behind the scenes. And for me, John, but me and Robert have said the last few weeks, the board and I think Dermot Desmond know what they've done through the last few years, and they know that they owe the club again somewhat of a point against Rangers when they lost the final. They brought in Rodgers. I think they know they need to give this guy money who's coming in, and they need to let this guy deal with the football side, because it's obviously not worked. I know we've won 9 in a row, but when it comes to European football and some of the transfers, the model's not worked anymore. And what Don McKay keeps saying is modernised. So what's no right behind the scenes if he keeps using that word modernised, what we've spoken about for months, we need to use a different model. We need to modernise the club. We're talking about it. McKay's talking about it. So obviously we're right, and obviously he knows what he's talking about because he's seen the bigger picture.
Aye, just to you go back a wee bit, you're talking about if it is Eddie Howe or whoever it is, the new manager. Talk about Odson Edward's going to the Olympics with France 21s.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to miss your qualifiers, isn't he?
He'll miss and a week. I think he'll miss maybe 2 games or 3 games. Aye.
He could be out already before he comes back, if he does stay. And regarding the board and that, they've been stuck in their ways for years, haven't they? The team across the water, they changed what, 3 years ago. You got a few different personnel in different positions on the board and whatever. And it's taken them 3 years to do what they've done. But they changed. Celtic have no changed. They're fucking stalled. They've got stale. we were talking about a new model before Christmas, weren't we?
Mm-hmm.
Even Celtic were still scraping results then, but we were talking about, no, we need to change. We need to move forward. Football goes in cycles, doesn't it? But we need to change.
So that's a good point for Perry in the live stream. He says, obviously, no matter what, Kennedy shouldn't be there, but he says, in my opinion, I think it's a very good point. He says, could John Kennedy maybe go down to the coach manager if this happens? Could he go down and do that? I think that's a good point. I think that could be something that could to build his experience.
That's a big drop at levels, Ryan, going for the Celtic manager, he going to part-time football. I know Celtic wouldn't be part-time, but all the other boys are part-time. Mm-hmm. Well, most of them, aren't they?
I say, but I agree. I think it could be something that I'm not sure it would happen, but I do think he might get a job, maybe a championship or something. Or there was talk about him maybe getting the Dunfermline job or something, but I don't know if that's just paper talk. But I do agree with you when it comes to Edward. For me, Sean, if that is the case, I think I was rumoured, but I wasn't sure if it was true. But if he's not going to be there for 3 or 4 weeks, Kamara's away, Griffiths, we don't know if he's going to come back fully fit again, and all cylinders, is he going to be there under the new manager? And then I think that's really all you've got up front.
I know
you've got a Yeti there, right? I like a Yeti. I think under a good manager and a good pre-season, he'll score his goals. So, but you're like, if Edward is going to go, do you just sell him now and get the money and then build and forget about him going to qualifiers and just build the season? Or do we just, obviously we just need to wait and see. But for me, that's a good point John says. Do you keep a guy who's going to be missing the biggest games for the season?
Well, I would, if I was Lee Griffiths, I would be absolutely mortified with myself for no making that Scotland squad. That was a chance of a lifetime. He's he's probably not going to get that again, and he's nobody to blame by himself. And he could have bagged in 20 goals for us this season. He could have made that Scotland squad. He made the decisions naughty for whatever reasons he had going on. I know obviously he had personal stuff, but there was merit to that as well.
Mm-hmm.
And with Edward, you look at Edward the end of last season and mid-season before, he was worth 30 million, easy 30 million, and Celtic will be lucky now because he's in the last year of his deal, can't he? Celtic will be lucky to get 15 million for him, and PSG have got a clause of, 20-30%, no doubt?
I think it's something like that, maybe 20% or something, something mad.
Doesn't matter, is you're not going to make much money on him, which is a travesty for the talent he is.
I've always said, people, Pipe Rangers fans are saying Ryan Kent on form is the best in the country. No, see, for me, Edward's been a shadow himself this year, but he's still got 20 odd goals or something more in. So if that's him not playing very well, you'll get double that if he's at his peak. We all know that. It didn't help when you're missing. You're missing wingers. You've no signed a winger. Forrest is out for 5 to 6 months. You've no signed a... So, and you're kind of... It's all on him because the rest of the team aren't playing well and you're needing your focal point. I did say a few weeks ago after the Rangers game that I was disappointed in them because to get to the next level, if it is Leicester or Arsenal, as John says, that means John watched the game and he says the amount of work he was in the day. He can't get away with that in the Premier League or the Italian League or the French League because you've got to work your fucking arse off. I score goals. I'm a striker. I was a striker myself, Sean, yourself. You can score goals all you want, but you're not always judged on your goals. You've got to do more for the team. You've got to work hard. And it's, as John says, it's a collective. It's all right scoring goals, but if you're not making assists, if you're not running the channels, if you're not digging deep in the games where you're maybe nothing each, you're 1-0 down 10 minutes going, you need to win a game of football. Do you really want any players in your team? Or would you rather have an average player up front who can hold the ball up, link up, work the fucking arse off and might get you 15 goals a season that's going to contribute more to the team? Or do you keep the guy who's maybe going to get 25 goals a season but no day anything else if he's not happy? Do you know what I mean? It's as a catch-22.
I watched the Leicester game last night before I went to work and obviously Vardy, Vardy in 32, 33, something like that. But I kind of see him maybe another season or two. But that other boy has just has started banging him in Iheanacho.
Iheanacho.
He's been on fire this season, and if Edward's going to even think about like taking one of them out of position, then he'll definitely need to book up his ideas.
See, Iheanacho, Sean, I think he'd only scored two goals up to February. So, I think he's got 16 goals in 16 games or something since that. But he'd only scored two up to February.
Oh, he's been on fire, mate.
But again, that's the difference again for the manager. It shows you how good Rodgers is. People will call him a rat, or they'll call him this. Right? I forgave him now because I'm looking behind the scenes, the guy now. And in hindsight, aye, what he'd done was, we all know our feelings on it, right? But the guy's he's one of the best managers in Europe, if not the best now. Obviously, with Guardiola, I mean, British managers, he's superb.
I've seen as well, mate. Sorry, majority interviews Brendan Rodgers has, he mentioned Celtic as well in most interviews.
But you think that's guilt?
He always says about how he's a Celtic fan, his family's Celtic fans, and no matter where he is in the country or the world, he always looks for the Celtic result. And there, I just seen the other day a video that he posted for Scott Brown.
Mm-hmm.
On the T-shirt, him and Tierney and that as well, and he was saying that he would like, he hopes he could work with Scott Brown one day and all that again. And like the guy is, he's a very, very smart man, and he's one of the best coaches, British coaches out there anyway, if not the best. And we were lucky to have him. It was a coup, and
absolutely.
I was annoyed at the time, very annoyed at the time, the way he went out the back door and all that, but he left everything in place, he left everything in Lennox Town. Lennon just had to play his team, and that's what the league was already won. Lennon had to win a cup final, and that was it. Rodgers left everything in place. He tried to take Kennedy and that as well, like Stevie Woods. They obviously, they're Celtic through and through, so they stayed, but like, bar that, like, the guy had done everything he had done, and there was, but I think there was more to it behind the scenes, like, money-wise, and he wasn't getting what he was promised and stuff, and he couldn't do any more with Celtic then, like, because if he's not getting any more, Celtic are only going to improve in Europe. If he's not getting any more money to spend, he would keep winning leagues all day long, but we're not going to get anywhere else in Europe, and that's what he was wanting, so.
I think we can know now, for the just some of his interviews, that we knew even Brendan Rodgers didn't have full control when he looks at it, because some of the signings he signed Chev, and he says, I've never seen him play before. And now, come on, at that level, how can you pay £2-3 million for a player but no his ability? I know you've got a scouting team to do that, but surely the manager's got to be a final say if it's YouTube clips or if it's whatever. I think we all know now that it was all interfering. And I listened to a podcast the other day. It was Mark Wilson and Simon Donnelly's podcast with Celtic Huddle, and it was Lee Naylor that was on, and knew he's an agent now, and he says, look, he said, I can't make it totally confirming that I know this, but I've got a big feeling that Lennon wasn't in full control. I don't think he had any say in the transfers, because Hammond and Lawwell dealt with it. He says, again, he's sick, I'm not saying it's 100% true, he says, but I'm an agent. He says, now offer Celtic players to speak to at the start of the season, and Lawwell and Hammond palmed it off. So it wasn't Neil Lennon, it was the, he says so. Can take you up.
Hammond's a fud, isn't he?
I know we don't know him personally, but it comes to his job, how he's failed his job.
He's off anyway, mate. I'm a bit worried for the start of the season, because we've got so many folk to replace. Players, staff, and if we're going to get this new modernised like way in with director of football and stuff like that, which I think we should have already done 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to? They'll talk about the fair off of Man City and that coming in, and then you don't know, it changes every single day, and you're like, what the fuck is going on? Are we going to? When is this all going to happen? And is it going to happen in time for the season starting, or are we just going to let that mob just do the same again? Like, hopefully,
as I says, I don't want to put predictions out because then there's no manager, but if Eddie Howe comes in, we will not be anywhere near as bad as the other now. I can make it out of the now. not a chance we'll be as bad as this. That's just my opinion. The players won't be as bad. I think the players will be fitter. I think they'll have a strategy, they'll have a plan, and they'll know a way of football. I'm kind of agreeing with John said before, Sean, that I would maybe, obviously next season we need to win the league because of the Champions League, right? And that's a given, because if we don't, it could set us 2 or 3 years back because of the financial strains of how much money you get to winning that. But see, if you maybe lose the league for 2 or 3 years, but then you go and win an R9 in a row, you would probably take it, because we need to start somewhere again. We need to, things like John says a few months ago, things will get worse before they get better. And John, you were right, because it did get worse. We lost 4-1 against Rangers or 4-0. I'm that forgettable about the season that I'm like, it's done. I'm like, the games are finished. And it was a bit of a whimper for me, John. I know the games, you can get beat Fiend. I don't mind you beat any game of football if you beat Fiend. Often the team's absolutely annihilated. You've tried your best and you get 3 fantastic goals or a silly penalty, whatever. But when they go out with a whimper the way they did, missing chances where they should be scoring, defenders no defending properly. See, the thing for me, John, as well, it's really done my nut. I know I'm going back and forth here, but see, there's a video on Twitter that we spoke about how many goals they conceded for defending at front and back post. Again, it shows you that they didn't practice at training, and for me, that's embarrassing at any level that you don't figure out what you're doing wrong, because if that's happening every single week, then obviously they're still getting worked on training, John.
Come back and forth, go back to talk about Rodgers. Without a shadow of a doubt, he's the best British manager about now. Without a shadow of a doubt, I think his team's going to miss out again. I think Liverpool's going to just pit them for Champions League for next year. And I think Sean was talking about we've only getting money for, he wasn't allowed to spend bigger money to get us into the Champions League. Just look at the two teams that's in the Champions League final. Mm-hmm. Man City and Chelsea, two what you would call European superpowers. Well, Man City's never won a European trophy, right enough, but Chelsea spend ridiculous amounts of money under different managers every year. Man City, believe it or no, they don't spend. Their recruitment's really good. They don't spend. They don't buy many duds, shall I say. They all seem to be successful. You might get a guy come in who might only play 6, 8, 9 games. He does his job for the team. He's successful. Man City's biggest transfer, don't quote me, I think it's only 60 to 70 million.
I think it's that, it's not that guy Diaz. He was 50, 60 million, wasn't he?
They don't spend crazy money. But to get success in Europe, I think you need to spend more than what Celtic can. So we're never going to be at that level. Never.
What's the predicament with the Champions League? Because is it as of next season, 2 Scottish teams?
Aye.
But when does it change? When does it change so that one excuse me, the winner automatically
next season? So if we win the league next season, this season coming, then we'll go in right away. And if we finish second, then we'll go into the qualifiers again, I think. But if you win right away, you go right in. I think that's what it is. So again, that's why I've said, I know 10 in a row was a big season, but this is one of the biggest seasons that we're going to have, because if we win the league this year, you're guaranteed at least 25, 30 million. You're going to get better players want to come and play for you, because you know they're going to get 6 games on the cameras. They're going to get 6 games, hopefully, once obviously the situation happens, the world's a news away. They're going to, under the lights, they might get more, like a bit of a stepping stone. You may get another Sinclair coming. You may get another Dembele coming, because you're getting European football. They know they're going to have 6 big games to put themselves out there. So it's a big season, in my opinion, Sean. I think that when the league next year, I'm mostly going to get another 6, 5, rather in a row. But it would set you in that path again financially, because Rangers aren't going to spend 30 million without qualifying for Europe. They can't do it. We can't do it. So if you're getting that right away, plus your season books, plus once bonus, right? See, when the league next year, right? Everybody will buy season books because they know they're going to get 6 game Europe. They're going to buy a new season strips. They're going to buy a training gear. They're going to buy whatever they put out, because they know they're putting into a project. They're putting into something the excited about. It's the same with this season. See if Eddie Howe signs, fans are saying they want the new. Fans will renew because it's exciting. It's a big new manager. It's an exciting season coming up. Who are we going to sign? Like, brand new ship, I'll get that. It's the same with Rodgers. 10,000 odd fans turned up, whatever it was. And the fans bought into it, and the club bought into it to start halfway. Yeah. And look, as John says, look what happened. What he done with us. What he done with us was unbelievable. And then look what happened with Millennium. Cheap option. And I know he won a treble and whatever else, but the football was, it was starting to go down the hill, and you've seen it. And this season,
Pish,
was a be all and end all. He signed guys like Duffy, who we all thought was going to be a brilliant player for us. Unluckily, it failed. I know he had a lot of after park stuff, so don't want to touch about on it too much. But the recruitment side,
he was buzzing to be back down at Brighton.
I see his Instagram posts. He's buzzing to be again. That's the problem with the pressure, mate. The pressure down south. You can get a 1-8 draw with Brighton and Arsenal, you're buzzing your nut. But if you draw with Aberdeen, you can't get the shops because you're going to get absolutely mobbed. That's just the way Scottish football is, and that's why, in my opinion, you've got to be a certain character to play in Scotland for, as I said, the city, because if you're no one of the characters, I don't think you really do well here, because if you don't can't cope with the bubble of Glasgow, how are you going to cope when you're getting beat? If you can't cope when things are doing well, how are you going to cope when things aren't well? So I do agree that things do need to change, but they've got to get the right signings in, and that's why, for me, if it is Eddie Howe, John, he's got to get the signings right to go with his formation, and I think he will, if it is going to be him.
Aye, sorry to go back and forth again. Eddie Howe's a manager and Bournemouth get relegated. A lot bigger teams in Bournemouth have been fucking relegated, by the way.
That's true.
So, I don't think that's an issue regarding his career path he had with Bournemouth, whatever. He's still done fantastic with him. What else did you say, Ryan?
Well, I was basically saying, like, obviously, with Rodgers, the fans will buy in to it. The fans, how, if he is announced, for me, he is, I don't want to say he's a second company to Rodgers, but he's as closest I think we'll get to him. The fans will buy into it. Fans are saying they want the view, the books, but they will. If Eddie Howe's a manager, they'll pay their £500, whatever it is, because they know what they're going to get. They're going to get exciting football. They're going to get a brand new atmosphere. And it's a brand new beginning for the club. Something that maybe Rodgers was. It was a clean slate. And I'd buy into it. I know you'd buy into it. So, it's for me, I think fans will buy into it, and the way it was with Rodgers, John, that's why we've got to do again. If the board, they pay good money for a manager, you're going to get standards, and that's what we go to Rodgers. So I think that's what we'll go get with Howe, if they pay the money and get him in.
They paid Rodgers a handsome salary, didn't they? Mm-hmm. No doubt. The next man, if you're getting a quality manager, you need to give him the money. You just need to gear them up, but you need to gear them that bit extra to entice somebody to come up here. It's all about money. There's plenty of players, good players, really good players, have played in Scotland. They don't come here for the fucking weather, do they?
Definitely.
One of the reasons players go to teams from both sides of the city is money. They get decent money here.
Well, they knew, because I know we've been through a pandemic and stuff, but Celtic have still got money there. They've tucked away. They've sold Frimpong. They've got obviously money off Tierney and whatever else and Kamara. And I think their last accounts was like £19 million was sitting there before they even sold Frimpong. So I don't think money is an issue when it comes to this. Obviously, I don't know if you've ever thought about it, Sean, but see, my opinion, the fans are saying, obviously, we've low spent money and stuff. We've spent money, right? But see, the money we've spent, that's no Dermot's money. That's no Lawbears money. That's the money we brought in through season books and strips and sales for players. The £15 million we spent, we just sold Frimpong for months. So they've got really that back, Kamara. They've got that £15 million pack basically right away. So they've not really spent money out of Dermot's pocket. So in my opinion, that's what the fans are saying. And a few pundits have seen, and ex-pundits and players, Dermot, can we get a set book out and fucking do something here? Because when was the last time we've done it? Obviously, we don't know everything, Sean, but for the outset, it just looks like it's money for the fans and transfers that are paying everything. I don't love, so during the pandemic, they've had to put money in. But I think the guy's got to get his checkbook out, and really, because it is a big rebuild, it is.
Even still, mate, like you wonder, the money we got for like the Bailey, Van Dijk and stuff, and there you go, Tierney, like players what we've made, like we 5, 6, 7 million, and obviously Armstrong. 25 for Tierney. Aye, Armstrong, there you go, mate. Aye, and like aye, we've bought, like you said, you knocked it, you had it on one there, Ryan, when we've used that money, but we've also got that money then back again. So what the fuck's going on? And if they do fork out for a big manager to come in like Eddie Howe, then they will need to pay him big dough, and he's going to want to bring his own backroom staff, which I think will be good as well. So Celtic will need to fork out for that.
100%, mate. And obviously, the day, Jordan, but obviously, we don't know much about it, but obviously, it's going to happen with Lawwell. Again, that's no football related. Whoever that has done it, it's an absolute idiot. It's disgusting. The guy's got his kids and his family, and that's just, this world for me is just a scary place. You know, there's too many things happening, and I just hope that his family's okay, and obviously, the fans and the club also give his biggest support and hope everything's okay with him. It's a horror story to hear that, because the guy doesn't deserve that, no matter what anybody thinks about him at the club or anybody doubts it, thinks of him. That's human order, as we say. That's ridiculous. And whoever it is, I hope they're done for attempted murder, because that's what it is. It's absolutely bang out of order, and it shouldn't be happening in life.
It's a despicable act, but unfortunately, the world's full of fucking bums, isn't it? Absolutely. Him and his family don't deserve any of that. Absolutely ridiculous.
See, I know Sean's laughing at it, but I know he's laughing at the way you said fucking bums, because it is. It is, Sean, isn't it? It's just too many idiots in here that are doing stuff, and especially this.
Aye, nah. The guy is like... I can't really blame, well, partly we keep Lennon on and stuff and whatever else he, but then again, that's behind closed doors. None of us will ever know what's went on there, but that man has done so well for Celtic. He's kept Celtic's books balanced for many a years, and he's kept us in a good financial state, and he's a family man. The guy keeps his himself. You don't see him much in the media. He's just family orientated, and like you said, he's got a partner. He's got kids in the house. Somebody that will, I don't know, but we'll find out. It'll come out like whether somebody done it deliberately or whether it happened. But I'm gonna go with somebody's done it, and be doing that to anybody, especially if it was, no matter who it was disgusting. But see, if it was one of your fans, it makes it even worse.
It's horrible, mate. I said we'll go to touch. Well, too much, but I just had to bag up.
I'm just glad he's all right. I'm glad that they're all safe and they're all well.
See, that's the main thing. See, like, for talk's sake, they didn't wake up. The damage that was done, mate, it's horrific.
I know. A car can be replaced, a house can be replaced, but
I leave Canny. Again, it was say, we just hope everything's all right with him. Obviously, as you mentioned about the Euros, John, two Celtic players have been called up. Obviously, Griffiths didn't. I did say my Twitter, I was a bit, just as a biased Celtic fan, I know he might not deserve it, but I just think my guy, we've got a lot of defenders in the squad, and a lot of attacking mids. I'd have maybe took a defender out, and maybe put Griffiths in and took four strikers. That's just for a biased point of view, and for a point of view where it might only play 15 minutes, but yeah, that 15 minutes, you know he's got a chance of scoring. Kevin Nisbet, I know he's come up for Dunfermline. He's earned his call up, but it's just my personal opinion. I'd rather have Lee Griffiths in this, but I know Griffiths has the final Sunders, but that's just my opinion. But apart from that, obviously Ryan Gold didn't call up. I thought he would have. John Flexton would have done much all season. But apart from that, I think the squad's actually a decent squad, especially midfield. You've got a good kind of firepower in midfield. Boy Adams looks like a good player. I think he'll do well for us. So just looking forward to, obviously, guys at Tumbo, Gilmore. I think it is a bit an exciting and a realism that we've actually got a Euros. It's for me especially, you've kind of been through it, John, with some Scotlands. I've not seen it, so for me it's a big thing, and I'm just happy that I'm getting down to Oxford to be involved in it, because I'm really looking forward to it.
To be honest, I couldn't be bothered with it. I'm no worried what Scotland did at Celtic. You know what's going to happen? The Celtic players that's in the squad are going to get injured.
Probably.
They're going to come back and they'll need an extra week or two off, which they might not make the qualifiers. So how much football has Callum McGregor played the last three seasons? The guy needs a break. That might be one of the reasons he's shaded quite considerably. I couldn't be bothered with it. Why is he Scotland doing well on that? But if some of the Celtic players do play, and they do play well, might add a few zeros on to their price tag. For say McGregor gets punted, whatever, the Premiership, might increase his value.
I think Christie's deal's up in December of next year, so if he played every game and played well, Sean, that could be a £5 million in tappy, whatever it is, because you know yourself, Sean, people's value increases because they have one or two good games in these competitions. It happened to the guy who played the Wales, Robson Kanu. He had one or two good games and Honking. He went, aye, he's not the most prolific of strikers, but he gets the moves because he's done well in the Euros. He get a move, so it only takes you one good game in front of the cameras, somebody sees you and signs you, so it could benefit Celtic in that term for maybe a bigger value for players.
Was it not like a free transfer or something? And then, like, it just got released or something, and then...
It was a Bosman, Sean, aye?
Aye, and Wales to come and end up at West Brom after it.
Aye.
It just shows
you. Well, I think you're bang on, Ryan, about the Lee Griffiths thing. Even just to have him there or around would have been a bonus for. But I think we've took three left backs. We've took Taylor, Robertson and Tierney. Obviously, Tierney is, I'm assuming, going to play at a centre. Or even, I don't know, some sort of left wing. But, I haven't took Taylor. Robertson and Tierney are more than enough. We've got, what, three strikers, haven't we? We've got Adams, Nisbet and...
Dykes.
Lyndon Dykes. I am glad that McBurney's not there, by the way. But also as well, I was very, very surprised Billy Gilmore got called up. I know the boy has got talent. The boy is probably going to go and do very, very well for Chelsea in the next few years. But or even if he'll need out to get loaned out to somebody and he'll do well. But has he done enough to get called up to the Euros? Like, has he?
A few fans have said that. Even John even said that he's only played maybe 7 or 8 games, I think, for Chelsea.
He's not played 90 minutes, but...
I think
it was like in the cup, the previous early rounds of the cup, I think maybe he played a couple of 90 minutes, but he's wee few minutes here and there, and it was Lampard that was giving him the chance. No,
Duco. I generally think he's just there for experience, mate. That's just my opinion. I think he's just there to see about the place and see what it takes to maybe be a Scotland player. But I'm happy Tumble's called up because, for me, the boy's been superb.
Brilliant.
I'm not saying he's going to start again, but I definitely think he's going to be there for an impact because he's one of our better players. Even Celtic, he's one of Celtic's better players than who.
I don't think he'll start either, mate, but I think he's definitely a player that changes a game and he can come on and he can, whether it's hit a free kick, whether it's fucking play that pass, or even he scored a lot of goals for Celtic this season. He's scored quite a few goals for Celtic and he can take that anywhere. Like, he's an attacking midfielder, and it's just depending on the system. But I can't see him getting in ahead of like Armstrong, McGregor, players like that. So I don't even know who he would start with in centre mid. I know McGregor would be dead on. I thought it would have been McGregor and Jack, but obviously Jack's out.
No, McTominay. It's your first midfielder on the team sheet.
I bet, will he go to centre back?
Aye, yeah. That's what I was thinking. I think
you said he's
because he's been playing on there, has he not?
So, the squad's overloaded with defenders. That just tells me he's going to play a defensive game. He's going to play five at the back, I reckon.
I will speak about Euros as obviously on our podcast we'll go along, but I do agree that I think McTominay's a brilliant player. I know a few people have given him a bit of slack, but I think he's to play that level where he's playing it consistently. You don't play it, man. I know you get a few duds, but you don't play it, man, you consistently for a year or two if you're really push on. So for me, he's a big player for Scotland, no matter where he plays.
Oh, aye. Definitely. He's played almost every game for Man U this season.
So that tells you something, doesn't it?
I know.
But I do agree. And obviously, John, last week, about the Euros, the big boy Adams, I know he's come out the cold and he's come in, but the games, he played, he does look a handful. He's playing at the top level with Southampton. It's like a good season. He's only going to be a bonus for us because I think he will play most of the games. I know, obviously, there's three hard games we've got, but I'm looking forward to maybe seeing him play more for Scotland. I know he's no Scottish, but I think he might do well. He seems the sort of guy, he's quite quick. He'll hold the ball up and he might be good for your guys like Fraser or Forrest, whoever's out the wing. It's a target man for them to hold up to and play out, because that's what Scotland are missing, in my opinion. I know we had it with Fletcher and guys like that, but before we had a focal point, because let's be honest, I'm not going to absolutely cane a guy, but McBurney, for me, he's not good enough to play for Scotland, he's not good enough to play for the Premier League, but the guy Adams is proven at that level, and I think he will do well for us at Euros.
Scotland's going to struggle up front, isn't he? He's only named three forwards, because is all right there for talent. And amongst the Scottish strikers at the moment, you're talking about Shankland and one or two others. They're not at the level required for international football. I'm not putting them down. They're professionals playing at a good level. But that's a total different level. England and Croatia, two teams that played in the semi-finals of the World Cup. That's a different level.
Oh, it is. And it's, Sean, it's definitely a level above, because it's... As much as I will say, Shankland's done amazing to get his call-ups. But to go in against United, against Aberdeen, to then get up against John Stones and maybe Harry Maguire. I know people cane Maguire, but to play the captain of Man United for the transfer fee he went for, you'd obviously get something about you. And they're playing against guys like fucking... Every week you're playing against big names, Salah every week, and they're competing with them. So it is a big step up in class.
I'm very, very surprised he took three left backs. I thought he would have went with the four strikers, and I had a wee thing with. I was really, really hoping Griffiths would get called up, and I know he wouldn't have been first choice because that Adams is a really good player, and I think he might turn out to be the striker we've been looking for all these years. But because he's good in his goal for the last Scotland game. It's a cracking goal, I know. He scored for Southampton the other day. He is, he's a good player. What is his granddad? Was Edinburgh or something?
Something like that, mate, aye.
But I seen Jack Henry, I know. Fucking, and I was very surprised about that. Very surprised. Because he's basically... Did that Andrew Considine get a call up?
No, he didn't get in.
No, he didn't get it. So right hand, because he had been playing, hadn't he? It was Declan Gallagher. Scott McKenna.
The squad was Gordon, Marshall, McLaughlin, Cooper, Gallagher, Hanley, Henry, McKenna, O'Donnell. David Patterson, obviously the COVID thing, we only played five games. Mental. Andy Robertson, Greg Taylor, Tierney, McGregor, McGinn, Gilmore, Fraser, Forrest, Fleck, Christy Armstrong, Tumbo, Adams, Dykes, Nisbet, and McTominay. A few St Johnstone fans are ogging off on that on Twitter. Yeah, I don't know if you've seen it. They're saying, obviously, the boy Sean Rooney, they're all saying he's played unbelievable all season. He might win a double. And then Patterson's played five or six games, and because he's a young youth Rangers player, he's getting in. Listen, I think he's a good player. The boy has got potential to be a really good player for Rangers getting up, but it's the same with Billy Gilmore. You're talking about on form, right? As much as you've been maybe saying Jack Henry's not good enough, he's played 30 odd games, right, for his team. He's done well. Does he deserve it? Maybe aye. But there's a guy who's played five games for his team, had a COVID issue. I know that's not the day with Scotland, but does that really deserve a call-up? Maybe no, but I think...
You're questioning his professionalism, that's what you're doing.
Aye. So, again, it's not my protocol to say he shouldn't be called up, because I'm not the manager. I'm just saying that St Johnstone fans thought Sean Mooney should have been called up, Sean, in the stadium, which I could argue their case, but I don't think the boy Patterson has got a big future when it comes to Scotland. But apart from it, I'm not even, I don't really get any big qualms about the squad. To be fair, I think the squad's a decent squad, and we're under Steve Clarke, as John says, they've all set them up defensively when they counter-attack, and I think they've all been close games, even though I think they're playing, obviously, Czech Republic are decent as well. But you are playing two big hitters. Again, like Celtic, we obviously have a group of death and qualify Champions League. We've got a better group of death here, and we'll do well to get out of it. I know as the fans, you're just there for the atmosphere, but never know, Sean. We should be surprised under Steve Clarke. It could surprise us.
But you were saying that, just going back to the squad, mate, like, see the keepers or not, I would have took the St Johnstone keeper, that's Andrew Clark. I would have took him instead of McLaughlin.
To be fair,
he's been brilliant all season.
If you're talking about on form, it should be there. Aye.
Because if McLaughlin...
Aye.
Why is David Marshall gone?
That's true. Aye, he's been hopeless all season for Derby.
His team just avoided relegation the last day of the season.
Because as much as I mean about Scott Bain, right, I don't think he's good enough, right? But he's played most of the season for Celtic, so Celtic's number one can he get in the Scotland squad, but the team that's playing the Championship's number one can get in the Scotland squad. So how does it work out? You know what I mean? The guy who's...
Rangers number two.
Again, I've no qualms about the squad, but you're just trying to make a debate here that is it on form, is it on reputation? Well, if it's reputation, then Lee Griffiths is called up, so it's no reputation. It has termed anyway.
Right.
Yes.
But quote me if I'm wrong, I think Lee Griffiths has scored 4 or 5 goals for Scotland.
Aye, I think so. He's not scored that, a lot, aye.
Nah, that's not very good, is it?
Not really, no. If you put it that term, it's not.
No, it's not.
But I've generally no qualms with the squad, lads. I know there'll be a lot of guys missing out. And, again, we'll talk about more detail when it goes forward. But obviously, the last wee bit, John, hopefully soon the manager's announced and we can all kind of look forward to a new season.
As I say, very starts just to get rid of this one. It was an absolute holocaust from the start to the end, wasn't it? Poor week season, ended up 25 points behind. I'm all doom and gloom here. 25 points behind. Knocked out the Champions League early doors. Knocked out Europa League early doors. Knocked out the League Cup early doors. Knocked out the Scottish Cup early doors. Can only get better now, can it?
Aye, definitely, Sean.
All the way's up, mate.
Aye.
That's the way the only way's exit, isn't it?
So you hit rock bottom. You hit rock bottom and there's only one way to go, innit?
Aye.
Just need to get Rocky Balboa out with a chicken, get training up.
Aye.
I get you with a chicken. Go on, Rocky. Chase it. You know what I mean? But I know, but
I would like to see him have a wee run.
Ah, he's Hiroki. A Hiroki, I get
both.
Just to be fair, man, you have.
I know, yeah.
Have Rocky and goals, he'll catch a ball on the bottom, man. But yeah, I definitely agree with you, right? I think under a better manager and a better formation and maybe a better pre-season, I think he will be a goal scorer. Again, if new managers and his plans, that is.
I think Celtic's going to play a lot of youth this season. Obviously, we need a full rebuild and we can't do that in one summer. So we're going to need to do it bit by bit, using each transfer window the best as we possibly can. But I think a lot more youth players will be getting used this season while you'll be built up.
Aye, I think it's going to be a bit of a mental pre-season, and obviously we'll just hope my man's announced soon. Obviously, Euros will be first, but again, lads, thanks for getting involved. Again, keep, obviously, it's a bit of a mad time, so keep safe, keep well, Sean. John, and I'll see you later, guys. Stay well.
Right, cheers, lads.
Cheers, see you later.
Tired of ads interfering with your favourite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
He can't deny the need to fly.